Welcome to Southern Man Western Town.
Jeff Lawrence, as usual, What you just heard was a sample from a guest today on the show that I'm going to interview, Liz Spencer. That was her new song, Man in a Hurry, that's about to be released in probably about 2 weeks, maybe two, 3 weeks, somewhere in there. I think August 11th, if I'm not mistaken. But that's a little sample of the song. It's already being played on radio up in the North Dakota area, places like that. Definitely a great voice. I was glad to have her on the show. Calling in from Rhode Island. I don't know if I've had anybody call in from Rhode Island before. I have a friend up there, Tamara. Shout out to her. Up in Providence. I've been to Rhode Island. My friend Philip, that used to play bass in my band, his mom was from Providence, and we went up there when we were like, I was like 18 years old, 19 maybe, somewhere in there, and visited a town called Pawtucket, we actually played a gig there at some biker rally thing, then went on into Providence. I liked it a lot. I think I could probably live there. And I wanted to clarify something I said in the interview. We were talking about new country and how maybe why it sounds that way. I was saying, it's mostly suburban people now that had never seen a cow kind of thing. But I certainly wasn't referring to Liz. The way it is, and I've been all around, I've been to almost every state, a few countries. But once you get out of the city limits of a place, you're pretty much in the country. I mean, I was kind of referring to maybe if you live in New York City and, it might be hard to authentically sing some country stuff in Boston, Detroit, places like that. But, once you get an hour out of those places back in the country, you go up to, upstate New York and stuff, country. Same thing with Michigan and a lot of those places, Wisconsin or Milwaukee, all those places, once you get a little ways out, back in the country again. So Liz has a very authentic voice. I came across her on Instagram singing a Patsy Cline tune. I was kind of drawn to that. I'm a Patsy Cline fan. I don't think a lot of people can sing Patsy Cline very well, but Liz nailed it. So I asked her if she wanted to be on the show. excuse me. That's not COVID. That is, I don't know what that is. Coffee. Not COVID, but coffee. It's early here in Ogden, Utah. But anyway, I appreciate Liz being on the show. What we're going to do is she told me a really good story after we did the interview about how she kind of got back into music after some time and had to do with a certain famous individual. But I'm going to hold that story back. What we're going to do, if she'll come back on in about a month, or I don't know, whenever she releases about 3 songs or so, I'm going to have her back on and let her tell that story and then, you know, play the new songs and all that kind of stuff. She talks about maybe moving down to Georgia. I kind of was discouraging her from that, but just because I lived there for, I think I lived there 28 years, most of my life, and then I did better once I got out. It's kind of a hip-hop place. A lot of country music people are from Georgia, but they're more from usually the Athens area, and then they all move to Nashville. Not many of them stay there. Travis Tritt still stays there, but a few others, but most of them move up to Nashville, Alan Jackson and all those guys. I think Patti Loveless lives down there in Dallas, Georgia, near where I'm from, but I don't think she's not from there. I think she's from Kentucky. Anyway, I'm getting off track. But anyway, I hope you enjoy my saying anyway every 3 minutes. No, just kidding. Hope you enjoy my interview with Liz Spencer. I know I did, and I really appreciate her coming on the show. And like I said, I think August 11th, somewhere in that area, the new song, Man in a Hurry, that you just heard a sample of, is going to be released. And you can go ahead and check it out. Go to her Instagram page and all that and check it out. And, I think you're going to love it. If you like country music, you're going to love it. You're going to love her voice. All right, next up, Liz Spencer. Joining me on the show is Liz Spencer. Hey, Liz, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I'm excellent. How about you?
Good. And where are you calling me from? I know New England, but that's a few areas up there.
Yeah, no, I'm in Rhode Island. I'm in Little Rhody, so I try and keep it kind of vague on social media, I'm in Rhode Island. I'm born and raised right here, so.
Yeah, I love Rhode Island. It's been a long time since I've been up there, but I've been thinking lately of moving up that way, maybe not to Rhode Island, but maybe to Maine. I don't know. We're getting kind of tired of the Southwest heat.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I was actually thinking of moving out of Rhode Island. And, once you think of leaving, you start to notice all of the great things that are all around you all the time that you really weren't paying attention to before, you know, the beaches and places like Wickford and Jamestown and Newport and... Yeah, it's actually not. It's nice. It's nice. I've lived here my whole life, and I haven't appreciated what's around me as much maybe as I should. But,
yeah, I lived. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I stayed there about 28 years, and I've been in Utah now, Northern Utah, for about 15-16 years, and might be time to move on. But it sounds like you may need to make a move to Nashville, maybe. Is that what you're thinking?
I've been told though that that's the worst place to go if you want to make a career in country music. Like I've been told you're just one in a million fish in the sea down there, and as far as standing out, you know. And also Nashville right now, they're doing a lot more country pop, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I moved there from Atlanta back in 91 for about a year. And it was that way even then. That was before cell phones and stuff. But I had an interesting experience. I got a job right off. I was only like 22 years old, and I got a job as a songwriter almost as soon as I got there. But I had to write with 10 other people and be there every single day from like 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it was like it was right in the middle of the day where you couldn't really work another job.
Yeah.
Unless it was at night. And then if you worked at night, you couldn't play gigs. And so, the catch was it paid $100 a week. I couldn't even do it. I had to just turn it down.
Well, that would be tough anyway. You have to be creative between the hours of 11 and 2, Monday through Friday. You know, that would be.
Yeah, especially be on 100 a week. So I came across you on Instagram, just kind of, I don't know how I found you on there, but you know, I was listening to your, like, a Patsy Cline cover you were doing on there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan. You were really doing a really good job at that song, so I started listening to all the other ones and then noticed you had some music coming out soon, so that's kind of why I invited you to be on the show, and I appreciate you doing it. As far as your new ones, you have a song coming out soon. When is that coming out?
It comes out August 11th.
It's called Man in a Hurry, right?
Man in a Hurry, yeah. That's kind of a little private joke between me and a friend of mine. And just the song just came out kind of organically. There's a whole story behind it. But, it's the first song I've written that I'm just really proud of and really love. It's the first song I've written where I kind of got out of my own way and just allowed what came out of me to be as it was and not try and change it, not try and make it sound like something, just authentically what came out of me. And I love it. And I'm really proud of it. So pretty excited. My very first single. I've been writing and singing since I was 15. I've been wanting to record a song since I was 15. I just never had anything that I thought, you know, I want to preserve this forever. You know, I never was able to write anything like that until this song. So,
what was the date of the release again? I'm sorry.
August 11th.
Okay, so it's not far off, and then like by the time this show comes out, it'll only be a couple weeks from there. But
yeah,
that's awesome, and you can pre-order it too. I saw the link on, I think it's DistroKids.
I have
a few people that have been on the show that distribute their music through that same website. So, are you going to release some other stuff after that? I suppose. Do you already have some stuff written or?
Oh, I have lots of stuff written now. Yeah.
Just got to record it.
Once I kind of, like I said, I just got out of my own way as far as writing and I just allowed things to happen and come out as they are. Now I'm cranking them out. You know, I'm really excited, looking forward to getting in the studio again to record. I have three more kind of lined up that I want to record and get out there. And for me, it's a little bit of a slower process because I record the song and then I'll go back in the studio and change a couple things. Then I'll be talking to the engineer. I'm like, let's move this up. You know, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist when it comes to some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but my goal is to have the EP done in a year. That's my goal.
Yeah, that's a good goal. That's not too far, too much time. You can. I've been doing this a long time. I've got like 26 albums out, and you can. It's kind of a double-edged sword. I know people that are real hardcore perfectionists, and their problem is they'll release one album in 15 years. it'll be perfect, but oftentimes like that it'll sound kind of dated by the time it, you know, it comes out and stuff. I'm not saying that's gonna happen to you. And then the opposite thing is where I'm at. I tend to just release everything when it's not even ready. You know, I should probably spend a little more time on it.
but you know what? No matter what, and this is something that I've learned, it doesn't matter what you put out. Somebody will always love it, and somebody will always hate it. You know, and I try and keep that in mind with my own music. If I get a little self-conscious about some of it, you know, somebody's going to love this and somebody's going to hate it, no matter what, no matter how much time I put into it, no matter how much effort I put into it or how little. You know, there are so many different styles of music and tastes that people have, and there's always somebody who enjoys it.
Well, what you'll find is the people that hate it are often people that are doing the same kind of style maybe that you are, and they're not quite as good. that's what I've always found.
Well, that's the best good way to think of it.
it's that way around here in Utah. I got some haters out here too, and they tend to be other guitar players, and then like the guitar players that are, you know, better than me or on my level have no problem with me at all. But that you'll find that. Is it hard to do country music in Rhode Island? As far as, I mean, is there places, a lot of places to play and stuff?
Country music in Rhode Island, we have one country music station on the radio, which is just, it's country pop. So, you know, it's not really the stuff that I play. But there are a lot of great country singers that play in Rhode Island. Nick Bossy, for instance, he plays in Rhode Island a lot. He's fantastic. In Rhode Island, we call them Swamp Yankees. You know, we have there's a whole following, and majority of them are my family. But there is kind of an underground following. It's definitely not the way it is down south, or you know, in other parts of the country. It's sort of just there's a following. There's a following. It's just not where it is with the rest of the country. You know, being in the Northeast is just, you know.
But I know there's country fans up there big time, especially like in upstate New York and all that. And I mean, they're everywhere, really.
Right, yeah.
And even out here, I mean, I'm in the center of the West, in Mountain West. There's one, let's see, there's two country bars out here that I know of in Utah. It's all classic rock and stuff like that. But But I'm with you on the new. I don't like the country pop stuff either. I think it'll.
Yeah, I try to listen to it with an open mind, but it's so much more about image than it is about the music, and I just can't get into that. It's just so much more about, you know, it's not country music by definition.
No, it's not. And it seems like every song's about getting drunk. I know that's a kind of an old joke about country music anyway, but it really wasn't as, I didn't never see it as much as I do now. every song is like that. My theory is on it, and hopefully it'll go back, but my theory is on it is back, you know, back in the day when it was Merle Haggard and George Jones, and I mean, these are all guys that grew up in rural areas on farms and stuff, and these new guys are just suburban guys that never even seen a cow. So, it easily changes. It seems like it goes in stages. Like I know back in the 70s for a while, they were adding all these orchestrations and stuff to country music and trying to make it more pop. And then guys like George Strait and Randy Travis and Dwight Yoakam came out and kind of took it back to the roots again. It seems to go in circles like that. So,
yeah, I think it's going to swing back. I think it's so much of an extreme right now with just how far off it's gotten that I think it's going to just swing back and come around again. I think a lot of people are kind of getting tired of it. Every song sounds the same, which is a problem.
Yeah,
you know? And people are going to get tired of that and start listening to the older stuff and go, wait a minute, where's this stuff? You know?
Yep. I think so too.
Yeah.
Besides, Patsy Cline, what's some other influences or what made you want to get into it?
Oh, my influences are all over the place. on my playlist right now, I was just listening to Billy Strings, you know, the Dust in the Baggie and Red Rocking Chair. And David Allan Coe, I really just got into David Allan Coe with Spotlight. I just, Patsy Cline is always in my family. She's always been playing. My father in particular loves when I sing Patsy Cline, so I learned a lot of her songs early on.
Not everybody can sing it either. That's the thing.
She's... Yeah, you know, I used to try to change my voice when I would sing because I wanted it to sound a certain way, and I would take the country out of it, you know. I wanted to sing more, you know, in that clear tone of, yeah, I don't know. I tried to take some of the twang out of my voice for a while when I was a teenager. You know, and it wasn't cool.
And she didn't. And Patsy didn't have a lot of twang, really. I mean, I think she was from Northern Virginia or something like that. But she was more.
Yeah. But when I sing like how I genuinely sing, and that's when I can sing Patsy Cline. You know. Yeah. So it took me a while to get comfortable with that and just, you know, sing it the way that I sing. I think it comes across much better when I do that. So. I love singing that, but also one of my bigger influences, honestly, is Janis Joplin, and mostly because not music. I mean, musically, I don't think I sound like Janis Joplin, obviously, but just by following her example of, you know, a lot of women in country music are are kind of judged by image, or, right. you know, Janis Joplin, she wasn't country, but she went out there and she just killed it when she performed. And she wasn't about the image, and she wasn't about being pretty, and she wasn't about, you know, trying to fit in with the girl group. And she just went out there with the boys, and yeah. she just kicked butt.
But she
and
was,
I love that.
But she was from Texas, so it's in there somewhere.
yeah. But as far as performers, you know, I really think I would strive to be more of a performer like Janis. You know, she just kicked ass. I just love who she was and how she performed. And I have a lot of 50s influences. Even Man in a Hurry, I was listening to at the studio, and I realized there's a lot of, like, Eddie Cochran.
Oh, yeah, 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 I love Eddie Cochran, I listen to him a lot.
And I could hear that in, like, you know, that, and just, I'm like, that sounds a little bit like Summertime Blues, you know, and all those influences of just the stuff I listened to growing up, I think kind of started to morph into this sound that came out, so... No, it's not just country. I've really just been influenced by a lot of different genres, really.
But when you release your stuff, you think it's going to be more along the country lines, or are you just going to release whatever you want?
Yeah, I think the majority of it's going to come out country, because that's just what comes out of me.
Right.
But there's also kind of some stuff that borders on folk. Or like indie, I don't try to write in a certain genre. I just sort of write what comes out, and the majority of that's going to be country, I think. But I don't know that I could actually categorize some of it. But you know, hopefully it's just good music. That's what I'm aiming for. You know,
why do you maybe you have a theory on this? Why do you think more people haven't? From up in your area, haven't really made it in country music. I never really understood. I knew, like, the last one I really think of, like, Jody Messina. I think she was from Boston.
I don't know. I think it's a little harder to be taken seriously as a country artist from New England, you know, because of, like, what you were saying. There are a lot of us that have never seen cows, or, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a little harder to be taken seriously, I think. And really, there's not a big music scene in general. That's one of the reasons I was considering moving to Atlanta, was because there's just, as far as songwriting and performing, there's not a heck of a lot going on up here. There's that following, like I said, but there are other places definitely where it's just more of a creative vibe and people are more into the music. And I think anybody who just is in New England and stays in New England doesn't have a lot of that around them.
I always thought it was weird, because you can hear, the Billy Joel and the James Taylor and Springsteen influences in most, like, all country music that's been put out since the 90s anyway.
Yeah.
So I always felt like these producers may be just asking people where they're from when they come in the door. Maybe a little biased. I don't know. Never really made a lot of sense.
Like, yeah, that is. Who's this Yankee coming in the door, you know?
But I would have to, if you're thinking on moving to Atlanta, just from a guy that lived there 30 years, I would rethink it.
Really?
I mean, you can do whatever you want, but it's
I was down there for a week back in March. I was visiting a friend of mine, and one of the things, but you know, when you leave New England, one of the things that strikes you is how friendly everybody is, you know. It just, people smiling, making eye contact, saying hello. Like, we don't do that here.
They don't do it out here either, in Utah either. But yeah, you'll find you'll find that more in Tennessee, North Carolina and stuff. But the thing about Atlanta is it's mainly a hip hop place. There's a lot of, most of the country artists that come out of there are usually from, like, Athens, which is about an hour and a half closer to South Carolina area, where, like, REM and all those bands came out of. But yeah, it's more of a hip hop rap community, really. But there is some stuff going on, but most every country artist there, it moves to Nashville. I mean, they all do.
Yeah.
I would say Austin, Texas would be I don't know, that would probably be a better thing for if you were going somewhere for that, for songwriting and things.
Well,
like
see that now we're moving too far away from family. That's the problem.
Yeah, that would be. I know I'm 2,000 miles from mine, but that's a good thing sometimes.
But, yeah, sometimes it's something for sure.
But I mean, I actually did better when I came here into Utah than I did in Atlanta. Cause Atlanta's huge. I mean, there's just so many things going on, but and the crime's kind of out of control there too. But
just but
I still have my brother and my dad still live there, and
so you can still visit. So
yeah, I got a lot of friends. I recorded my last 3 CDs there still, but but you know, you never know. But anyway. What else I was going to ask you is I got a lot of guitar players and stuff that listen to this show. What about how long have you been doing that, playing the guitar?
I picked up the guitar when I was 15, and actually I think it was more of a way to try and connect with my father, because I had my parents divorced when I was young, and I lived with my mother. But when I was 15, I moved in with my father. And he had the guitar, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I really, you know, I didn't know where we kind of had any common ground. And I picked up the guitar and started, you know, playing it, and he taught me a couple chords. And I'd always been able to sort of play by ear, but I had been doing mostly piano up to that point. And that's actually what got me into songwriting, because once I could play chords on a guitar and sort of put stuff together, then I had actual music, and I could write songs, and it just kind of all came from that. So,
now, did you take piano lessons and stuff?
No, I've never taken any lessons in anything, and I'm very stubborn like that. My mother wanted to get me into piano lessons when she saw me playing. I'm like, no, this is all just, I didn't want to have somebody teach me how to play. I just wanted to play, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, even right from a really early age, I had a toy piano, and that's kind of how it started with that. I just started playing songs, you know, just the kind of one finger melody of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Mary Had a Little Lamb, but I could hear things and play them back. And that kind of, I guess in a way, that kind of made me stand out for my siblings, and I liked it because I had like classic middle child syndrome. You know, I'm the middle child, and my two older sisters are identical twins, so that makes them super, you know, special and important. And my little brother's the only boy, and he's the baby, and I was sort of just the third girl in the middle. I'm like, what makes me special? What makes me and the fact that I could just pick up an instrument and play it and hear things was, it sort of became what made me stand out. And I think that's another reason why I sort of gravitated towards that, you know, is as an identity, as of this is
right.
Special, you know.
Do you play live any?
I have, right now I'm sort of getting everything together. I just hooked up with a new guitarist, Troy, and we're sort of putting some stuff together, and we're going to be playing out. Hopefully in the next month or two, we're going to start playing out together. I haven't done it in a long time. I actually gave up music for a long time. And so I haven't, excuse me, I haven't done anything with music before this year. You know, I hadn't done anything in almost 10 years. So everything was sort of shelved for a while. And so just getting back into it, I wanted to put some music out. I wanted to, you know, find some good people to collaborate with. And it's all kind of just coming together right now. So in the next couple months, I definitely will be playing out.
Yeah, when you put these songs out, you're going to have to get out there. And the reason why I was asking that is when you get out and play live, are you also going to play the guitar too? Or are you just kind of use that
absolutely
to write? Oh, okay.
No, definitely. I like having the guitar as I'm singing. It's just sort of, you know, where I'm comfortable. You've
got to have something to do with your hands up there.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of guitar do you play? I got some hardcore guitar nerds that listen to this show. That's the one thing they always want to know.
Oh, I just got the Martin X. And, you know, when I was in high school, that was, you know, Martin's were like the guitar to have. And I could never afford one. And I just, you know... So I finally got a Martin this year, And now I'm looking at Taylor's going, oh man, like,
yeah,
Taylor's, you know, beautiful. And, but I just had it in my head that, you know, the Martin was the guitar to have. And
yeah, it's just what feels better on your hands. I had a Martin for a while and I got rid of it. It just didn't work well for me, but. And then I had a Taylor that seemed like everything was kind of too high pitched, kind of twangy sound, and I didn't like it either. But
yeah.
And then I
honestly, I think the thing I have that I love the sound of the most is a Yamaha 12 string. I mean, it's a Yamaha, but it's beautiful. It's just so full and rich sounding.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. If sometimes it's better to get a more of an inexpensive guitar, because I like Yamaha and Ibanez, especially if you're on the road or you're doing a lot of gigs. Those things will stay in tune. You can drop it off the roof of your house and it'll be in tune still. But the Martin and sometimes will be out of tune the next song.
Right.
So yeah, you have to kind of look at the whole thing. Go ahead.
I do love the sound of the Martin. I mean, I played it in the store, and I, you know, that was really the deciding factor. It was just it's a beautiful sound. But again, now I'm looking at the Taylors.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep running into people who have Taylors, and they're like, "Oh, that sounds really nice."
Yeah.
Very smooth.
What I was gonna ask next is, go ahead and give all of your information out as far as where people can find you and stuff.
Well, I'm on the Instagram, Liz Spencer Music on Instagram. I'm going to be putting a website together, but again, I'm still, you know, just starting this out. You know, even 6 months ago, was when I really put up my first post and, had just started getting back into music. So I'm only months into this.
Yeah. I mean, that's one reason I have you on the show. This is kind of what the show is about, is I like to have people that are kind of, you know, just not all of them are just getting started. Some of them, but a lot of them are not well known yet and kind of thing like that. But that's kind of what I like to do. I mean, everybody's already interviewed all the famous people 17 times and they already asked the same questions over and over. And I kind of like to hear people, get people to hear the process of how you started out.
Yeah, I've been playing music and writing music and singing since I was 15,
right.
But I haven't been putting it out. I haven't, you know, really gotten into what my sound is until more recently. So this is, I don't know, it's almost like a rebirth of music because I put it aside for so long. You know, I just sort of went through some stuff and I just wasn't able to go there emotionally to where I needed to go to write music. And, and it's funny because it ended up being music that was kind of the therapy that pulled me through all of that stuff, you know?
It can be. It can be for sure.
Yeah. So this is all just sort of, it's new. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 15, but this is totally new. This new thing that's coming out. I'm just way more centered in who I am and what's coming out of me musically, and it's more authentically myself, and I'm just ready to do this now. Now I'm ready. You know?
Are you on, do you have YouTube stuff out yet? Or are you going to wait till the song's released and all that? Or?
Yeah, I don't have a YouTube. I know there are a lot of things that I'm just not, I don't know. I am going to get a YouTube channel. I know I need to do more than just, you know, Instagram and putting stuff out on streaming, but...
Well, once the song's out, you can kind of weave through all that. I've had to do it, too. It's kind of hard to know what you need to do and what you don't need to do, and...
Yeah.
I don't like being on Facebook, but, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to be, even
though... Right, I kind of gave up on Facebook, and... You know, it got so political and it got so crazy that I just haven't been on it. And I did post that my song was coming out and it had a huge response. And I was like, oh, I should probably.
Yeah, because I turned.
That's
where I'm at. I got sick of it and turned it off. And then I noticed I get half my gigs from talking to bar owners and stuff on there. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And promoting this show, promoting this show on there, you know.
If you, yeah.
You just have to do what I call post and ghost. You just post something and don't respond to anything under it.
that's going to be my motto now. Boys and ghosts.
I stole that from Joe Rogan. But
yeah.
Well, anyway, no. I've kept you long enough. But so that around the first couple weeks of August, we can expect the song out. And after when it comes out on, it'll be right onto Spotify and iTunes and all that.
Oh yeah, all the streaming. Yeah, it's gonna be streaming everywhere August 11th. So.
Okay. Well, and then we'll definitely once you get a couple of more out and maybe get some gigs situated, we'll revisit maybe.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I appreciate you doing this. I know it's the time zone difference and all that. Hopefully it's not 103 degrees like it is here.
No, it's about 101. We're
good. Oh, you got a couple of degrees. Anyway, you do guys. You guys have the humidity, so it probably feels like 110 there. We don't have any humidity here, at least.
Yeah, the humidity's killer.
If you move to Atlanta, you won't get away from that. But again, I appreciate it. And like I said, when this will come out next weekend, I'll shoot you over the link and all. We can you can share it away.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Your father and I were just discussing his day at work. Why don't you tell our daughter about it, honey?
Janie, today I quit my job. And then I told my boss to go fuck himself, and then I blackmailed him for almost $60,000. Pass the asparagus.
Your father seems to think this kind of behavior is something to be proud of.
And your mother seems to prefer that I go through life like a fucking prisoner while she keeps my dick in a mason jar under the sink.
How dare you speak to me that way in front of her? And I marvel that you can be so contemptuous of me on the same day that you lose your job.
I didn't lose it. It's not like, whoops, where'd my job go? I quit. Someone pass the asparagus.
Oh, and I want to thank you for putting me under the added pressure of being the sole breadwinner now.
I already have a job.
No, don't give a second thought as to who's going to pay the mortgage. We'll just leave it all up to Carolyn. You mean you're going to take care of everything now, Carolyn? Yes, I don't mind. I really don't. You mean everything? You don't mind having the sole responsibility? Your husband feels he can just quit his job and you don't...
Will someone who's please gonna pass me now? The
okay,
fucking
guys,
experience.
I'm not going to be a part of this.
Shut up! I am sick and tired of being treated like I don't exist. You two do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and I don't complain. All I want
is
the
same...
Oh, you
don't complain? Oh, please, excuse me. I must be psychotic then. If you don't complain, what is this? Yeah, let's bring in the laugh meter and see how loud it gets on that one. You don't complain.
Don't interrupt me, honey.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed my interview with Liz Spencer, because I know I enjoyed it. And I was thinking, I said something in that interview where it's like, you know, people don't grow up on the farms anymore, and that's kind of why country music changed. I certainly wasn't meaning that towards her. I'm thinking more like, you know, like suburban kids, like right outside New York and Boston and places like that. It's hard to get a perspective on country music, but all you got to do is get a little bit out of the city in any state, and you're pretty much there. But Liz has definitely an authentic country voice. What drew me to her is I heard her singing Patsy Cline on Instagram, like just her in an acoustic. Anybody that can do that, I'm a fan of from right away. That's not easy stuff to do. And Patsy Cline didn't have a real country type voice, even though I think she was from Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. She kind of had a smooth kind of voice that crossed over, you know. But anyway, love Liz Spencer's music. Wish her nothing but the best. Gonna have her back on the show if she's willing in a couple of weeks from now, when she gets some more stuff out. I believe, if it don't quote me on this, but I believe it's August 11th that I saw that she was gonna release the song on all the platforms. You can pre-order it now, I believe, or you can if you're in North Dakota, you can hear it on the radio. I'm sure it's in more stations than that, but that's the one she kept pointing out, or it will be. Anyway, You know where you can find me, Jeff Lawrence, J.S. Lawrence, or Jeff Lawrence and War Horse. All my music's on Spotify and iTunes. You can go to my website, thejslawrence.com. If you are in the Ogden, Utah area, not Ogden, Utah area, that's where I live, but if you're in the Salt Lake City area, August 8th, which is actually a Sunday, we're going to be doing a brunch show down about 12 p.m. to 3 down at Hopkins Brew Pub. Or actually, it's called Hopkins Brewery. I don't know why I keep saying brew pub. And Hopkins Brewing Company, technically. Hopkins Brewing Company. They're down in Sugar House, cool little area of Salt Lake. Definitely a great place. They're always packed, so planning on coming. Get there, you know, a little bit early doing that brunch. It'll be packed that day. All right, I'm going to talk to you guys on the next episode. I believe this was episode 101, so over the hump. All right, see you guys next week. Gonna play you out with something.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.